Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. With a new year just days away, you'd think no one is more ready to put 2011 behind them than Governor Jerry Brown. But Brown says he remains energized and hopeful, even though his quest this year for bipartisan compromise at the state capitol failed. The governor spoke to political reporters on Tuesday. Afterward, he sat down with the California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers for a one-on-one conversation about his first year in office and what lies ahead.
Jerry Brown never found what might be called the sweet spot in Sacramento in 2011. He got the deep spending cuts he said California needs, but he never got the special statewide election he sought on additional taxes. Republicans wouldn't go along no matter how hard he lobbied. Now Brown will take his case directly to the voters by collecting signatures for an initiative to raise taxes by $7 billion. In our conversation, the governor said his new mission is different.
There's a big difference. The voters will look at things in a more objective way. The Republicans are bound by a certain ideology, a certain enforced position-taking. It's not all that much different than Democrats on certain Democratic issues. But voters, whether it's Republicans regarding taxes or Democrats regarding taxes or unions or the environment, will take a more independent view, in my opinion.
But Brown admits that first he has to build a broad coalition of supporters for his proposal to temporarily raise income taxes on the most wealthy and sales taxes on everyone. That coalition says the governor will need to include organized labor, big business, and more. The base of the Democratic governor's coalition on his tax initiative will no doubt be organized labor, but privately, some of labor's top political minds say it could be hard for Governor Brown to get full-throated support for his tax campaign. That's because he's also pushing a proposal to scale back public employee pensions for future workers. More years on the job and less generous benefits.
They're not terribly thrilled about the pension plan you've put forward. You've got to get them to accept that at the same time you're asking them for political and financial help to get things on the ballot.
Nobody ever likes to give up anything. And there's some very nice pensions, and people are loath to reconsider. I'm proposing to affect the pensions of people who weren't even hired yet. And if some young man or woman comes to work at the age of 20 and works here for 30 years and they're 50, that's going to be in 2042. And to say that person should retire at 55, much less 60, is kind of silly.
But conservatives also don't like the governor's pension proposal because it doesn't allow a way to lower the projected cost for current workers once they retire. Brown's response, once that benefit is promised, it can't be taken back.
And the vested right is more powerful than any other relationship in society, more enduring than the marriage bond, than the oath of office. I would almost say the priestly vow. There's nothing so enduring as the pension obligation of the state of California or any of the local jurisdictions.
It certainly sounds like when you talk about pensions, you're talking about a pragmatic path, I guess, compared to what you hear maybe on the left and right. And that gets me to the issue of pragmatism in this building and in politics. You see any other pragmatic thinkers out there? There's a whole lot of left-right in Sacramento.
Is that what people say?
What do you say?
Well, I say I got to get something done. And the governorship is not a dictatorship. It requires mediation, arbitration, leadership, inspiration, and listening to diverse points of view.
Those are not small tasks. They are also ones the 73-year-old governor seems to relish.
Given the challenge to our country and to our way of life, it's a real privilege to be able to do something good to help things out.
You don't sound like a guy unhappy with the job.
No. No. People always say, isn't this stressful? I say, it's more stressful for the people who have to live in this difficult economy.
How do you manage your expectations of what you want out of this job and what Californians expect out of this? People's expectations are fix it, fix it. Why didn't he fix it this year? Why won't he fix it next year? The taxes are temporary. That won't fix it, and on and on. How do you manage?
Well, we never fix anything in a year or ever completely, because we deal not so much with problems, but with conditions. And conditions are things you deal with, you cope with, you adjust to, or you change in some way. But the conditions don't go away. So the problem of money, of political division, of crime, of environmental pollution, these are conditions. And we just try to chip away and do the best we can.
You talk about managing conditions. It strikes me as very different than the last governor I talked to in this office. Managing conditions is a very different worldview, it seems like to me.
Well, we have a dream. We're talking about a third renewable energy. We're talking about high-speed rail. Boldness is in the eye of the beholder, and to some degree. But I will mix boldness with some pragmatism so I get it done.
And Jerry Brown, while remaining coy about his future, told reporters on Tuesday that to get it done, it might just take 2 terms in office. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
To hear the entire conversation with Governor Brown, log on to our website at californiareport.org. The surfing world is mourning one of their own this week. Sean Collins died Monday. He was one of the 25 most influential surfers of the 20th century, according to Surfer Magazine. Collins created the world's first major wave forecasting service called Surfline, which started out offering wave forecasts by phone in the 1980s. The service evolved into a global website with 500,000 visitors each month. Robert Howson is the owner of Harbor Surfboards in Seal Beach and knew Collins most of his life. He said his impact on surfing was far-reaching.
He was really the main man. Obviously, there had been a lot of forecasters who would forecast ocean conditions for sailboat racing and, you know, fishing and various other things. But he was the first one to bring it to surfing.
When Collins was inducted into the Surfers Hall of Fame in 2008, he wrote the words, "Follow your passions" in cement on the Pacific Coast Highway. He died of a heart attack at the age of 59. That's the California Report for Wednesday, December 28th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.